Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
You're standing at the door with a bowl of candy. Why can't you?
Because I don't think 17-year-old girls with no costume on. They didn't have a costume on. You shouldn't be allowed.
Who cares?
They were just using Halloween to get candy.
Who cares?
Just use the holiday for your own selfish purposes.
And the bulldog.
So you'd rather have them toilet paper your house?
Well, I didn't know that it was going to be felony a treat. I don't think the trick extended to felonies.
Why would it kill you just to give them a few pieces of candy? I don't understand that. Should there be? Who cares?
What, we're going to be 40? Trick or treating at 40?
What are they supposed to
do? Do I have free candy? I'm 40 years old.
On WGR.
I don't have a lot of experience with vampires, but I have hunted werewolves. I shot one once. But by the time I got to it, it had turned back into my neighbor's dog.
Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our show. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. Fingers feeling better, so I should be all right for today. Hear about my cut?
That might have been an off-air conversation.
That didn't come up yesterday, did it? I mean, I'm having real trouble with recall lately, but I don't remember hearing about... Oh, wait, no. Before you went away, there was a finger problem, wasn't there?
No, and I don't believe it did come up yesterday. I thought you might have heard about it, you know, on the street.
Okay.
But I brought it... I think I mentioned last week that I think I was probably the first person in human history to do this. So I had a can of olives, black olives. My daughter likes black olives. Kind of weird, because she doesn't like things she likes. Things that she's eaten that we all agreed and pointed out that she liked. The next time, she does not want that. She does not like it. But black olives,
yeah, she's down right now.
She seems consistently willing to eat black olives. And I like them, too. So we've just got cans of black olives. You eat, you know, half a can, put the other half in the fridge. I reach in to pick out a few. Are you not supposed to do that?
I do it every time.
Chi-Chi beans, black olives, things like this, those cans...
I think once Green I've olives. Opened a can, regardless of how much of it I've used, I'm probably transferring it to a Tupperware of some kind.
Yeah, okay. And I think I am now from now on. I think I am now after this.
This is a reason to do that, I think, what we're about to hear, this cautionary tale.
Reached in to pick out a couple of black olives, and I think you can picture this. My wedding ring got caught on the underside of the rim. Right, okay. So I'm now trying to lift my hand back out of the can, but my wedding ring is caught there, so I'd have to reach down and then, you know, then reach out again. But I sort of panic and just rip my hand out of the can and slice my left index finger.
I love panic.
Yeah, I sort of panic there, like, I can't get my hand out of this thing.
Don't ever mess with that Shope. He is stone cold.
I did. I think
my hand is caught in the olives.
Yes. It's exactly what happened without that.
Right. I mean, but your reaction was that. Your reaction was like, I got my hand on the olives.
Didn't expect this.
Right.
Did not expect this.
Who set this trap?
Right. Did not expect to not be able to get my hand out.
Yeah.
So things are getting back to normal there, though.
Okay. Well, good. I don't know. You could have had some kind of injury that we talked about on the show 8 years ago that I'm thinking was 2 weeks ago. Because I just have no idea what's happening anymore.
What's your worst injury? The kneecap?
You mean other than my overall morale currently? Yeah.
Kneecap. Physical.
Yeah.
Let's limit it to that.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, the other thing was, you know, that's going to take years. I think that's it. Yeah, twice I've done that, and once I needed an ambulance to drive to home plate of a softball diamond to cart me away.
Oh, that is tough. That is the. I was not around for that.
And if it matters, we were playing, like, the Iron Workers Local or something, too. So it was like, you know, it was not a great moment. It was not, yeah, that's my worst. Yeah.
And did that happen twice?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Doing the exact same thing, batting in slow pitch softball. It happened once, and because it happened the one time, the same repetitive movement, I don't know, 5 years later, generated the same result, which was, but this time when I fell, like it dislocated, I fell, and it popped itself right back into place when I landed.
Mm.
So there was no ambulance necessary. I was able to make my way home, and then was instructed to never play softball again.
And you haven't.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've taken a couple of cuts here or there, but I'm careful. You know, I'm not going after it. You know, I'm not contemplating my launch angle and my bat speed because I know I cannot drive off of my rear leg. Right.
Interesting. Yeah. I would have to be my ankle, but I hate the story. I had a subluxed peroneal tendon in my right ankle, so that required surgery. I did 4 weeks of crutches, maybe nine more of rehab, which was just tedious and frustrating and like, oh, do I really need to go? I was just not a very good patient. But what I don't have, like what you want here, your story is, you know, not great. Your softball story is like,
it's super
wow.
Embarrassing.
Anybody can imagine that sort of humiliation, and that's tough.
Yeah.
You'd like to have been doing something more dangerous.
Dude, even if I were like rounding first base, like, you know, running.
Right.
Fine.
Lunging
maybe
for
somehow,
a ball.
Yeah, right. Something actually other than just like pivoting. Which is all, you know, I was just transferring weight. You know, I was swinging a bat. Like, you've done, I don't know, how many times if you've never played, like, highly competitive baseball or softball, have you swung a bat in your life? A million times? From when you were a kid? Like, I don't know, thousands easily. And, boom, kneecap. You know, and this is a long time ago. I was like 30 when that happened. That's bad, man.
Okay, that is worse than mine. I was going to say mine is bad because I don't have a story at all with my injury. Like, I don't
it
even know. Yeah,
deteriorated.
I remember one day playing golf, sort of noticing that my ankle felt a little funny, and then what I could do, like the tendon had ripped and sort of balled up. It didn't really hurt, but I couldn't run. Like, it was painful to run. I didn't do much of that, though, so I didn't really deal with this injury for a while, but I knew I could push in, like the tendon had balled up, so I could press on it at my right ankle, and it would go in, you know, like it wasn't hard, like bone. And so that seemed like a problem, but I don't know how I did it. I mean, I maybe just took a step. There's no, you know, I was not diving at Shirkston or something, and this happened,
right,
like... There was nothing like that.
Right.
So that's the best I've got. And then this injury with the olives isn't good either. It's like top 10 probably.
Mm.
So you didn't hear about that. That was something that came up last week when you were off.
Yeah.
Then there was the week before that when I was off. And we have not gotten back to the Patriots. Right? So Newton signed with the Patriots right at the beginning of my break.
Right, that's right. Yeah, that was Sunday night. Yeah, the first day of your vacation. Yeah.
And I was getting into, if you weren't, I was getting into how every time the Patriots would be mentioned, you would just wait for an opening and then say six wins, right?
Right.
Like six wins.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
How do you feel now?
I feel like they belong as a co-favorite in the division, which I think they are. I'm not. We haven't
they
talked
are.
About this a lot. Yeah, I you know, you're. I'm still in the habit of not reading those emails because I like to just sort of play the game whenever you ask. So it's just a thing that I do. It's like a show courtesy so that we can talk about it honestly. Like, I don't really know what they're saying, but here's what I think it should be. And I'm like, how close am I? But that's how I feel. Yeah, I mean, I think Newton is, you know, the almost the entirety of my reasoning was, you know, even though Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady of 2007 last year, you're still talking about a very good quarterback, and the drop off to Jarrett Stidham could have been severe, and I think Newton kind of bridges that, and you know, with that, I think they're back in a credible position to be a 9 or 10 or who knows, maybe even better than that team. You know, depending on what kind of condition he's in. Newton. But I think it's a huge signing for the division.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It is. I figured you would have adjusted.
Yeah.
The betting markets, I'm having trouble right now getting this called up, but the betting markets adjusted modestly, but not dramatically. And it's really because the Patriots, they were not six wins to the betting public in the first place.
Right.
You know, they were like 8.5, 9. Mm-hmm. And now they're 9. I think they're a lot different. And yes, Newton is an unknown, but not like Stidham is.
No, right.
Stidham was the Patriots with him, without Cam Newton. The Patriots were, what are they doing? What is the thing here that I'm missing? Because I'm used to them with the 3D chess. I'm used to them having something that I'm not thinking about, or there's just some reason why they have an advantage, and it's new all the time, maybe, but it's there. And so this one was kind of confusing, or very confusing, because the guy wasn't really a prospect, and are they really just going to do this? You know, like, are they tanking? People were asking that question. What are you supposed to do with them? And now it's really like there's just not – I don't have any of that sort of thinking anymore. I mean, it's just
– right.
Now they have a good quarterback, I think.
Yeah, I sort of feel like maybe – I mean, who knows, right? We always had to leave some room, and acknowledge that Stidham could be good. Who knows, right? Nobody knows, and maybe that'll work for them. They'll find a way to win games 17-14 or something. I don't know, right? But I feel like just maybe objectively speaking, the best you could have hoped for out of Stidham might be just sort of maybe the worst you're going to get from Newton. Like that's and so if Newton is better than just sort of meh, then they could really be good. And if especially if he is capable of being dangerous running the ball, because that's a very different thing to defend if you've got a guy that can hurt you running the ball. I mean, we're watching it here with Josh Allen. He's limited as a passer, but they made progress at least as an offense because of his running, and that helps him be a better passer because it avails just more, just different coverages. Guys got to creep up. They're worried about your running. I think if Newton can do that for New England, like establish that he can do that, then I think defending them becomes very different, and thinking about their weapons becomes very different. Because you're talking about covering people, but also worrying about Newton running, and I just think there's a lot there to consider that you didn't have to even with Brady, let alone with Jared Stidham.
Yeah, there's a chance that Newton will be better than Brady was.
Yeah.
So, but they were a real curiosity. Well, they always are, and they are now, but they were also before Newton. Like, what is that?
Right.
And in one of my many opportunities to watch just something old on YouTube, some old sports thing, over like the last couple of weeks, at one point I watched something on the 86 Bills. It's a really interesting season, 86. This is Kelly's first year. And the story of that year is simply they lost most of their games, but they were almost always in their games. And that was off two consecutive years where they won two games each. But that's a 4-12 team that was closer to like league average. But what's interesting about it, and I think you find this I think is really cool about sports. You find those transition years where a team has been good for a long time, and then the 90s Bills, like 97 is kind of like this.
Yeah.
Where it's, well, parts of them are gone. Parts of that team that you remember that you'll always remember are missing, and there's new guys, and it's sort of this transition. And 86 Bills, I'm watching this video. I don't know if Joe has it on VHS. Probably does. But if he does, you know he remembers it. And you have Kelly and Reed and Bruce Smith, and Talley would have been in his fourth year, I think. Those other guys all in their first or second. You know, they're just young. Mm-hmm. Wolford and Kent Hull are on that team, but also Charles Roames is on that team, and yeah. Jerry Butler, and Lucius Sanford, and Devlin, and Smirlis, Ken Jones, you know, like.
Damn, Jerry Butler, as far as, I just don't, I don't remember him having that long, the story with him is that injuries ruined his career, and, of course that's true. I always think it's even shorter than that, but I would have forgotten that he was on that team in 86.
Well, I know that because of, I think he broke his leg against the Dolphins in a game at the stadium that was on TV in 86. And, that was the story that game sold out. So you had, 86 would have been the first year they had any home games on TV since whenever, for years, right? Because they were always blacked out. But that game was on, and Butler gets injured. It's Kelly, right? So Butler makes it to that season. That's it. I think that might have been his last game, his last play in the league, though. So, it wasn't like the Butler teams or the teams with Roames on it were, always good. But they were pretty good in the middle, early 80s, and, some of those guys. It's just funny to see Steve Freeman on a team with Bruce Smith on it.
Right.
Because, those are two distinctly different eras for me in my mind. And the Patriots, that is a example. That Bills team, there are others you can come up with, are examples of teams. I thought maybe the Patriots were one of them. Where, okay, Brady is gone. Whoever this Jarrett Stidham is the quarterback now. And they'll have, N'Keal Harry might be relevant. Damian Harris, two rookies on last year's team that had almost no production at all, barely played at all. But, it's also Edelman and it's Gilmore, right? Gilmore's going into his ninth season.
Yeah. That whole secondary is really good and all it's intact. Yeah.
McCourty's, right? Both of them. So, yeah, those guys are in their 30s, I'm sure. So, that would have been one of those teams where maybe they would go, the 94 Bills go 7-9 and then, or 90, the 97 season, all right. And the more changes come the next year or something like
that.
Right,
I think 97 works better because 94, Kelly is still here. Obviously, 97, he's, Brady, gone. And they, I think, had that same record, 7-9, I think,
yep.
In 97. And then,
or 6-10.
Then Flutie and Johnson are here. Or 6-10, sorry.
Maybe.
Flutie and Johnson are here. And, Todd Collins, Billy Joe Hobert. Okay, this didn't work. We got to do something else. And they did. They completely overhauled quarterback. And maybe New England, if Stidham had ended up being their plan, would have done the same thing. They maybe would have gone, I've been saying, that they go 6-10. And what are we doing now? We got to do something else now because this didn't work. But instead, they went and signed Cam Newton for, a buck and a half, which is crazy that they got him so cheap.
Yeah, 97 Bills, 6-10, and then they get Marv retires and they get right out of Collins.
Right.
And then you have Flutie and Johnson, of course, the next year. So, that is certainly true now. If it was then, you can get out of those situations, Yeah. Maybe in the old days, teams waited longer for doing that. So, well, it's not going to really be like that because Newton is there. It's going to be very strange to see him play there, isn't it?
Yes.
Brady in Tampa is strange. Maybe it's just because we've had that for a few months now. Newton and the Patriots. Wow, I don't know what that's going to look like. But I'm excited for it. I'm a Newton fan.
Me too.
And I want to see, what that is. It could go a lot of different ways. But I respect it. So
yeah, we're in a very, very similar place. I've always been an admirer, fan of Newton, his game. There have been some challenging times with him. He's not always been easy to support, I'd say, and he's warranted some criticism, I think, at times. But overall, I like his style. I like his game. I like a lot of it, and that is something that was a process because I did not really like him coming out of college at all, he obviously earned some credibility, at least from me, for whatever it's worth.
Well,
I liked the guy a lot.
He had a scandal,
right?
And that sort of in my simple analysis was all right, well, watch out. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to root for him. 1 year transfer at a major school and the national champion But, you know, that's kind of, that's more and more often how it goes in college, right?
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's fine. I like the player. See what happens. The show today, Sal coming up. Sal brought up yesterday an article Bill Barnwell wrote for ESPN. And today I sat down with this article and read the whole thing. And I am, like I was yesterday when it was just brought to my attention, I am struggling with it. I'm really struggling with these rankings and like his thought process. This is a guy that I really like and respect and usually find myself agreeing with whatever it is, football related. And I don't know, I'm not here to say like these rankings are wrong. It's skill positions by team, you know, team groups. I'm not here to say that he's wrong. I just know that if I had done the same exercise, I would have had a totally different list. Like, the Eagles, just quickly, we'll have Sal on, and maybe I'll bring this back up. I don't know. It was yesterday, but the Eagles are 10th on this list. All right, so this is skill position players, not including quarterback, offensive line, and, like, it's a little bit where it starters are worth more than depth, and that seems right, and receivers are worth more than running backs. Like, okay, you have your own sort of arbitrary method or methods. The Eagles are 10th. I mean, who are their skill guys?
Right. Yeah, I didn't know they were 10th, but, like, I know it was injuries last year, but even so, like, Alshon Jeffrey was one of those injuries, and, like, at this stage of his career, if he's... Is he there? He's not their number one guy, right? Is that maybe DeSean Jackson now?
Well, Jeffrey's not even going to play,
okay.
It seems. And Jackson might, but he also could get fired.
Yeah.
And so you've got Miles Sanders, who had a big workload as a rookie, and he's all right. You know, he's just he's one of these running backs that is line dependent and you know, volume dependent. And they have Boston Scott, and then they have Arthega Whiteside and Jalen Reagor at wide receiver. And they have Ertz and Goddard. Like, that's really
right. Yeah, those,
the lead.
That's a really nice pair.
Yeah, Ertz is nice. Yeah, that's good. But, like, they're 10th. Cincinnati, a team that I think of as loaded at skill positions, is 23rd. Mixon, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd is good. T. Higgins is Reagor. I mean, at least as a rookie. He's Clemson, Higgins.
Yep. Yes, right.
And Auden Tate is pretty good. And
who's the fast guy? John Ross, right.
Yeah, and he's busted, but at least like there's speed.
Right.
And I don't know, like how is Cincinnati, just his list? I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just I would have had a really different order with mine. On this, the Bills are 7th, I think, right? 7th or 8th?
8th.
8th.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's obviously good.
Yeah.
But I think Cincinnati is better at skills than the Bills. Maybe not. Maybe Green. And Barnwell wrote, by the way, on this, that Barnwell wrote that Green is, I don't trust him for a full season.
Right. That's a pretty big variable, considering the injury that he's coming back from.
Right.
You know, it cost him. This doesn't have to matter. There's been enough time. Maybe he's healthy. But the fact that injury, like last year at this time, we were like, ooh, will he be healthy by week 3 when they come to play the Bills for the home opener? And it lasted the whole season, kind of freaks me out. You know, like I'd be worried about having him on my fantasy team, say, because I don't know, like it lingered for 6 months last year. So, you know, as soon as there's a tweak there, I'd be terrified the same thing's going to happen.
There's a receiver on the Bills that isn't Stephon Diggs I want to talk about with Sal go over that. We'll talk about maybe this list from yesterday a little bit more. And a really kind of funny stat about last year's Bills team. We'll do that next. Also today, Craig Hoffman will join us from D.C. We'll talk about the news yesterday with Washington and the name change. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Saw a lot of injuries last year. Tyreek Hill was hurt for a while. And, of course, this year the Chiefs went straight with running back with the first-round pick, so to kind of alleviate that pressure off of Pat Mahomes. But he's an elevator. He will definitely raise the talent around him. And that's what good quarterbacks do, and that's why Pat Mahomes was selected. Take advantage of the speed of Tyreek Hill down the field. So he's one of those guys that I do believe raises the talent around him.
Jay Binkley. Thank you, Joe. I had to have Joe tell me that twice. Jay Binkley, 6'10", Kansas City, talking about Patrick Mahomes. And I guess that article we were talking about a few minutes ago was part of that conversation this morning. Sal and Jeremy. Sal's going to be on later. I knew that. Loaded with errors already. I mean, it's not been a great week for me so far. Today's just getting started. Yesterday, at one point, I might have implied that people could fly.
You did, yeah.
So, you know, I'll be back. You just got to get up. You make a mistake, you just get up. You just do that.
I was sitting here, by the way. Joe had told me before we started, Sal was going to be on at 4:30. So you're setting that up, and I'm thinking of the clip we played yesterday. We talked about like the anchorman and the reporter. Don't you know that Sal's at 4:30, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. That's what you could have said.
I was going to admonish you on the air.
Lines are open now. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio, also Craig Hoffman, talking about the news yesterday in Washington with the name change. That'll be on today's show, but you can call us up if you want. I was going to bring up the Jets today at one point. Maybe I'll do that now. I'm obsessed with them. Le'Veon Bell had 3.2 yards per carry last year. Le'Veon Bell, who held out, skipped a season in Pittsburgh. Pay me, I deserve it, look how good I am. And then, like so many running backs have happened, went to a team that just didn't have everything right for him, and he was, you know, terrible, basically. So I'm obsessed with them, though.
Is that because, I mean, you know, like I'm very down on them. I think Gase is a clown show. Sal, I think, feels very similarly to that, and we've talked about that a lot. And, like, are you sort of – You said at one point earlier this offseason you thought they and the Bills were very, very close, I think.
Yep.
So I feel like you're trying on the Jets are going to be better than you think, right? Is that basically where we are?
I am all over the road, but today I'm a little bit more like that. Okay. Yeah, I'm a little bit more bullish today. Yeah, but right. I can swing. Yep.
Is that because of the last thing you read about the Jets today? Was positive.
I listened to a podcast today where it was pointed out how Darnold is younger than Joe Burrow.
Okay.
So yeah. He's played 2 years now and has had injuries and coaching changes. You know, that doesn't mean he'll get right. good or anything because he's been disadvantaged because of those things. But, yeah. What do you think Gase's career record in relation to 500 is?
Not that far off, probably, right? They ended up 7-9 last year. They had a playoff team in Miami.
Yes.
1 year. So I'm going to guess he's 5 games under 500.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, he's 30-34.
Okay.
In fact, 30-35 if you want the playoff game. So, yeah, you're right there.
Well, all right.
Sean McDermott, 2 over, Gase, 4 under. You got one guy there that gets a lot of credit. He's a darling. McDermott is a NFL coach darling right now.
Yes.
And Gase is like a bum. Yep. But their records are not too far apart. So, I don't know. Like, the thing about Gase for me is not his eyes, and it's not certain comments. It's more Kenyon Drake and Devontae Parker. And, like, with Bell should at least be not terrible. And Gase, he denied it, I guess, but it came out that he was just, like, really negative about having Bell on the team, that he didn't really want him. Right. And so you've had the – and you have other stories since from the Jets, Jamal Adams and, you know, either named players or anonymous players saying, like, there's just no leadership here. They don't respect him.
Right. That is really – and look, I know that this can be a trap, because what matters more than anything is – you know, talent and using the talent, like getting the talent off. And if you've got talent and you can get it off, I think you can probably overcome some of, you know, these sort of interpersonal relationship challenges, to be kind, that it seems like, at least it's been reported pretty widely, that he has. So that's largely my big – the reason I'm down on him. I mean, I don't think the guys on the team respect him, and that doesn't have to land you at, like, below 500 eternal, you know, forever. But I think it's tough to overcome, and there's been enough of it. It's not like there's just one isolated unhappy guy that just wanted to get out of there. It seems like there's been multiple issues, and you know, I can appreciate, like, maybe he wants to do something like McDermott did, but is just sloppy going about it, like, sort of clean up the team, right? And didn't he have the thing with, was he in Miami, or am I thinking of the wrong coach? I might be thinking of the wrong coach who left the running back home.
No, that was his first year.
His
first game.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was right? At Seattle. They had a season where they opened in Seattle, and Ajayi was his number one running back, and yes. That's what happened. Yeah.
So I mean,
that team went 10-6.
Right. So, you know, that didn't cripple them then. I mean, you know, you can get around it, but I think he's going to wear out there, and I guess in order for me to be, I guess, correct about all this, I would say they need to get off to a slow start again, and he'll lose everybody. But if they get off to a better start, and I don't know what the hell their schedule opens up here. I don't have it in front of me right now.
It's bad. Or it's bad early.
Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of the Dolphins, but it's also bad for the Jets early.
Okay.
If the Bills are good.
He's going to be in tough, I think. Or if they start like 2-5 or something, I just think he's in real trouble.
Such a weird year, though. There was another player move I was thinking about, and I'm not sure I'll place it. There was another move I was thinking about, like, you would do this, but this year is just so different. I know, it was a Bills thing. I'll save it for when Sal is on, because I want to ask about a certain player.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's got to be some, maybe not. Like, I feel like there should be some greater reluctance to make changes this year than in a normal year. Whether it's financial, I think it feels like it's nothing for teams to fire coaches and managers who make millions a year. They just do it.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they need to do it, and they do it. And with the Pegulas, it's been over and over, almost like somebody like that every year. And now it feels like maybe that isn't, and they did it anyway with Botterill, but now it feels maybe like that could be different.
Mm-hmm.
But who do you go get? I mean, just the way that everything has been kind of frozen makes me wonder if some of that will be less likely. You won't know unless there's just no firings or something. I don't know. Plus, it's New York City, right? Like the Jets are kind of the Jets are a joke. People are always making fun of the Jets and this guy.
Yeah.
But I'm just here to say, like, his record is not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there are good players, and I like what they did in the offseason with the line, because that should help Bell and should help Darnold, and those are two guys in different ways. Those are two guys who can play if, yeah, you know, they get certain advantages. So
yeah. Yeah. Darnold is absolutely capable of, to me, being you know, being good, maybe even really good at this point. And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't no sooner close the book on that being possible for him and the Jets than I would on it being possible for Allen and the Bills. So I still think that there's stuff there to be respected. I don't trust Gase to keep it all together in a way enough that makes them a real threat in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be gone, and you know, eventually, you know, maybe Darnold will still be there. There'll be enough positive signs there that somebody else shows up and Darnold gets right. But I don't trust Gase to get it done there at all.
803-0550. Here's Sam with us. Hello, Sam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call today. I was just calling with get your thoughts on a possible name idea for the NFL's franchise in Washington. What do you think about the Washington Pigskins? I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say.
I don't expect it to be that. I don't expect that to be the name of the team, but it's clever.
Sure.
I feel like Skins is really what you kind of want to stay away from. But yeah, I get it.
I would expect that they would want to stay away from that too.
Yeah. I did fall for the Onion story today that Jerry Jones renamed his team the Redskins. Now that's available. That seemed like something that could have happened.
Right. Didn't the Onion also send out, here's the new name, the Maryland Redskins or something?
The
like
DC Redskins.
Yeah.
The DC Redskins, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a
and,
fa- Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you if you had a favorite name for the team.
I know the way some of us have felt about the relationship between the military and the league, and like the fact that they charge, you know, the army pays to have these celebrations and stuff around Veterans Day and whatnot, and that's kind of greasy of the league, or not kind of, just is. But I like the idea of the Washington Veterans a lot. I think that could be a really good idea for them. But I guess if I have a favorite, that's my favorite. But I'm not like hell bent on any one choice really.
I don't think it's all that likely, but I like the idea of them naming them after like a president, like the Washington Lincolns, something like that. The Washington Roosevelts have been on these betting lists. They're usually pretty far down the list from what I've seen, but they're on there.
How about Bushes? There were two.
Yeah.
You like that one? Washington Bushes.
Where would they rank, though, on a list of presidents you want to name a team after?
Low. Pretty Sam low. Is going to call back and like, are you guys serious? Because that's really, this is
right. Pigskins is a way better idea than any of the stuff you've said.
Yes.
Yep.
The favorite name on the betting odds as of yesterday was Red Tails.
Right.
Which is a reference to the Tuskegee Airmen, black pilots in, let's see, World War II, that would be?
Yep.
And I mean, I'm for that. I think that'd be cool, and it's close to Redskins.
That's also one of those names that's owned by that individual in Virginia, by the way.
Yeah. Who, by the way, I saw today because I said yesterday that you know this guy could be in some hot water if he's looking for some money, and the explanation I read today is plausible. He said he bought up all those names because he wanted to prevent someone from doing that. He's very cooperative, so it doesn't sound, you know, it sounds like I was way off in guessing about his motivation.
And I wasn't mad at him anyway. Mike Dempsey said on his show that this guy offered to sell whatever name they want to the team at cost. And it cost him maybe like $20,000. Would that be for each one? No.
That's a lot of money if it was for each one, because he has over a dozen.
This is not an area I know a lot about.
Yeah, me either.
From watching Shark Tank, I think it's not from it's not for each individual one.
I think Bulldog should do this for Make a Call.
Make a Call.
Right?
I should do what?
Just, you know, patent it or trademark it or make a website, domain.
Okay. Make a call.
Make a call.
.org.
Yeah, and it's a fantasy football advice site, and you go to it, and it just says, make a call, and gives you no advice.
It just yells at you.
It just yells at you.
It's just a close-up of my face yelling that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I really like that.
Yeah, I think you should do that. I don't know if it costs 20 grand, but yeah, I kind of like the idea.
That's going to be a non-starter, but if there's a way to do it
for 20 bucks, would you do it?
Yeah, sure.
For 20 bucks.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Make a call. It just, there's, and then it has, you know, it has tabs like rankings and projections.
Right.
And you click on any of them and there's nothing.
Right. Maybe a middle finger. I don't know.
Just like a shrug emoji. Like, what are you doing here? Mike's not here.
Right.
One of them says that. I might want this. Make
like
a call.
It's a good business idea. I quit. I'm going to work on this. My kids will help me design the website. I'm off to the races.
We have Craig Hoffman, speaking of Washington, coming up, and also Sal Capaccio, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This momentum came connected with the larger topic of race in America that's been going on now for several weeks, and it became impossible for everybody to bury their head in the sand. Once the Washington team name got sort of connected to that, to me, it sort of became apparent it would happen. Didn't necessarily know how quickly it would move. But then, yeah, once FedEx in particular came out with a statement, FedEx CEO and founder of FedEx, Fred Smith, is also one of the minority owners of Washington football team. He and other minority owners are trying to sell their shares or supposedly, according to a report, trying to buy Dan Snyder out. So there's a lot going on that front. Dan Snyder didn't want to get there, but he ultimately didn't have much of a choice.
That is Ben Standig of The Athletic on One Bills Live today. We'll talk more about the Washington story here in the next little bit with Craig Hoffman, a reporter there.
This Bill Barnwell article I have up on ESPN that we've talked about today and also yesterday. I got to the bottom of it, and it's one of those. It's ESPN. It's one of those deals where you get story options, some clickbait.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Amy Schumer won't apologize for her new figure. She won't.
The nerve,
the gall of these people, these Hollywood actresses and Hollywood types. She won't apologize for her new. What does that even mean?
Must be nice to have nothing but time to work on your figure, Amy.
Apologize for it. Shouldn't we all be apologizing for our figures?
Holy crap.
Well, not clicking on that bulldog. Or this other one. All right, here's John with us. Hello, John.
Hello?
Hi, John.
Hi, John. You're on the air, man.
Hey. Mike Schope. It was nice to hang out with you in Boston with the Alabisos.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to call and say I'm down here in South Florida. It's a dumpster fire down here. The cases are growing. I want the NFL to happen, but I don't know how it's going to happen.
Well, I'm more optimistic, it sounds like, than you are, John. I feel like they're going to have I think they have to know what they're going to do when players test positive, which seems inevitable. They might not be able to have fans there, and that is also doable, although they are talking about fans in limited numbers being allowed to games. So we'll see. Like, it's a guess every day, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, but, you know, Bills are doing well, and I want them to play, and I want to go see everybody, but
right.
Crazy here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you could, you know, just use whatever influence you have, exert your will on people and get them to wear masks, maybe we'll have a football season and kids will get to go to school. That would be nice.
I think that would I'm be for that. Really,
that would be swell, I think, if all of that could happen. And I mean, not to be flippant. I mean, I think the masks, I don't think it solves everything, but man, it would be a huge step in the right direction.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I took a Boston trip. When was that, Bulldog? You remember that? Like last year?
I remember you couldn't find your car.
Yep, me too. That's what I remember about.
Oh, right. That was terrible.
You could not find your car.
That was terrible. I'm glad to have not thought of that first when I think of that trip.
Right. I was waiting.
Here's the first thing I thought of for that trip. So John mentioned the name, the Alabisos, friends of mine from Grand Island. Jake lives in southern Washington and flies all over the country to see Tool in concert.
Right.
And so he went to Boston, and I wasn't interested in the concert, but I went there to see him. So right as I was meeting him, I was driving to a brewery called Trillium, kind of a famous name in craft uh-huh. beer. And so I'm driving in a big city I'm not familiar with, and I'm alone. It's daytime, at least, and the app is taking me, you know, turn right, turn left, and like, I had to turn left, per the instructions, I had to turn left up this alley, and, like, you're there. Now it's like, you're there. but there was nowhere to go in this alley. I drove all the way up to a dumpster, hardly any room on either side. Yeah. And on the other side of the dumpster was the patio for this bar.
Right.
And so now what do? I can't park here.
Right.
I can't just, you know, get out.
And you cannot make a 3-point turn nope. in an alley, so you're backing out. How long were we talking, like an eighth of a mile?
200
maybe?
Yards, 300 okay. yards. I mean, right. a long distance
yeah,
with no right. room on either side.
Right, right.
You know, and any chance of somebody just pulling in, I don't know.
Right, yeah. No, a delivery truck of something, whatever. Sure. Yeah, like you could have been stuck there, yeah.
So not a great job by the technology on that one. I'm not somebody to be like, it never works. Because it almost always works.
Right.
But this one time, that's the first thing I thought of. All right, thanks, yeah. John. Coming up, Craig Hoffman and Sal Capaccio. Right now, a word for Colton RV. Of course, we're well into summer and outdoors. I mean, it's beautiful, 80 and sunny today. Camping experiences, really special and valuable and memorable. And for you, you want to get started? Go to Colton RV or just go to their website and see what that entails. ColtonRV.com. There aren't the RV shows that enthusiasts are used to, but they do have show pricing, so you can take advantage of the same great pricing opportunities as ever or as any other year. Colton RV, North Tonawanda and Orchard Park, you can call and make a VIP appointment and visit their dealership today. Shows may be canceled, but show pricing goes on. Social distancing, all of that in effect. You can be a show VIP in the dealership at either location for Colton RV. ColtonRV.com. Colton RV, 50 years, 3 generations, 1 family.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.